Roebuck Marcus Taylor and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
Good morning. Good morning, Sunshine Country. It's now 18 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and we are going to build rural wealth. Dan Miller with me this morning. Dan, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Doing well. Nice to see you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, beautiful morning. A little brisk, but good. Nice morning, though.
It's beautiful. Absolutely.
It's, you know, we have, talk about the weather roller coaster. You know, if you don't like it, just wait a day or two, and it'll change. So
it was 93 degrees Saturday.
Yeah, it was insane on Saturday, wasn't it?
It was hot.
Yeah, it was hot.
It was. And then we have frost this morning. And
yeah, and yesterday it was
comfortable.
Yeah.
Other than the wind.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Dan, who's our special guest we have with us
today? We have a very special guest. She's always been special, of course, in our firm, but Ashley Franco is back.
Ashley, how are you?
She's back, and we're so thrilled and excited to have her back in the fold here.
So, Ashley, since we last spoke, what have you been up to?
Biggest thing is we had a baby.
Yes, tell me about it.
Yeah, so little boy, his name's Aiden Rio Franco. He's adorable. So I might be a bit biased.
Hey, and he is.
You'll vouch.
Sloan and I'll vouch for that. He is adorable, yes.
Yeah, biggest accomplishments year to date in his life. He can smile now.
Oh.
He rolled over yesterday. Might have had a little help, but he rolled over. And he eats like a champ, working on that chub.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to add, he's kind of a mini-me for Chris. He's a little bit of a mini-me for Chris. He's really, when we saw him this morning, we had met Aiden before. It's been, I don't know, probably 6 weeks ago or something. And really then, you know, you couldn't tell. But this morning I was like, that's Chris's mini-me there, just a little bit.
Doesn't look much like mom. Goes through all the work of growing the baby, having the baby, and turns out looking like dad.
Yes, absolutely. So, good times.
Yes.
So, Ashley, here's my question for you. Does all of the planning that we've talked about now come into a little sharper focus now that there's a Aiden in the world?
Oh, it's different. So, some parts, definitely yes.
Yeah.
And I think other parts, you get in that mom-focused view, and other things kind of fall to the wayside. So, big term wise, yes, having that big picture plan, because we moved as well.
Uh-huh.
Also, we'll be working remote, so always feel free to call me. You can still talk, not going anywhere. But it's been a lot of changes.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Good changes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Yeah, that, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Ashley. And yeah, we're excited for them. I mean, we're going to miss seeing her in the office every day today, but of course, you know, she's a Zoom call away or a phone call away. And she's still going to be working for us, still going to be meeting with clients remotely, still going to be, you know, working with our team remotely and come back once in a while. That's kind of the plan, you know, for her to come back and you know, be with the team physically, you know, once in a while. And so it's a little new chapter for us, but we're excited for them because it works out really good for both of them. And you might just share a little bit where you're moving to and what you're doing.
Personally, it's the best of both worlds for me. Dan and Denise really accommodated us, so it's wonderful. So Chris and I moved back to Colorado, back where we both grew up. So both of our families are there. Chris has his siblings there too. So that was a huge part of us to have Aiden grow up with his family, grandparents, and then just be around, because not very often do you get experience your parents in their older age. Well, I was listening to statistics about by the time you're 18, you spend about 95% of your time with your parents. And then the rest of your life, you only spend about 10%.
That's right.
So it is kind of crazy. So it's been a unique perspective in that regard to be back home, see family, and go to the grocery store, see everyone, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's small town USA, a little town called Ray, Colorado.
Very cool.
But Yeah. And then I still get to work with all my favorite people here, get to still maintain those client relationships that I love. So it's really both best of both worlds.
And the beauty of technology.
That's what I was going to say.
With the technology that we can do today, I mean, you know, for example, I'll just tell you, you know, we have VoIP, voice over internet protocol phones.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ashley's going to have a phone that we just we'll be able to transfer a call to her just like she was sitting in the next office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be transferring it to Colorado. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy that the technology is phenomenal, you know. And so, yeah, it's awesome.
Very cool.
So
that technology is awesome, without a doubt. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very cool. Where's Aiden?
Dad is being Mr. Mom. It's his first time.
He's not here today.
No.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I got to tell you, Chris and Ashley came in this morning. And I go, all right, Mr. Mom. And he goes, yeah, I'm kind of like Mrs. Doubtfire. That's what he said. I go, well, I don't know if that's a good one or not. I don't know. I remember in that movie there were some kind of questionable deals there that Miss Doubtfire did.
Yeah.
But,
that's funny.
But anyway.
Funny. Okay. Building rural wealth. Your business is busy as your cash. Talk to me about this, Ashley. What are we talking about here?
Yeah. So a lot of rural business owners understand this. Cash feels safe, it's familiar, it's visible, it's also reassuring. And then when you run a business, whether it's a farming operation, a clinic, construction company, cash in the bank can provide that sense of security, but also capacity as well. That means like payroll gets covered, the next repair doesn't cause me a panic, and then also it gives you that cushion for when, if you have a slow season. So for a lot of business owners, cash is like a financial version of breathing room, can take a deep breath. So cash, what we're saying today, is not a bad thing, but managing it correctly, that's where that key is. And that's kind of where a trap can kind of sneak in. So what starts off as like a smart cushion starts to grow into a huge money pile that's not doing anything for you and not working hard enough for you. So, and we hear things of like, well, I worked too hard for this money to risk it, or I should probably do something with it, but I'm not sure what makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's easier not to do anything with it. And then I'll deal with that when it slows down. We always say that, and we know life really doesn't slow down much. It just gets
coming
faster.
Coming from a new mom, right?
There you go. That's right. Yes. That's right.
So we're not really here to criticize cash because it has a place, has an important place, but it has a role, and making sure it's used to that role is really important.
Okay. So let's start into this thing, Dan. So when a safety net becomes a ceiling, what are we talking about here?
Well, you know, again, right along with what Ashley said, you know, cash is king. You know, I mean, that's always been the old saying, cash
uh-huh.
is king.
Uh-huh.
And liquidity is important in every business. And it, you know, it protects against those surprises. You know, we talk about with people with businesses and just, you know, personal finances, you know, you need to have a safety net. You need to have a, you know, something to go to. But for rural business, especially where income can fluctuate seasonally, you know, having that buffer matters. But when cash piles up without a plan, that's when it can be a problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we know that over the long term, it has not been cash sitting idle that has done the very best over the long term, you know, because what happens? Well, one thing, you know, inflation mm-hmm. can erode purchasing power. Now, you know, interest rates are a little better now, you know, than they have been. But, you know, I want you to think back, Aaron, about 4 to 5 years ago, whenever interest yes. rates were zero. And yes, it felt good to hold on to cash, but man, inflation was outpacing what your cash was making.
Oh,
so by a long way. So,
shot.
You know, that can be a problem. So, you know, that same dollar sitting in a checking account doing nothing, but now again, right now it's doing a little more than that. It may not stretch as far five or 10 years down the road as if unless you put it to work. Second, opportunities get delayed, not because they're bad ideas, because the decision keeps getting postponed. And third, decision paralysis can keep in. You know, when cash just accumulates without a clear purpose, it becomes harder to decide what that next move can be. You know, I'll give you an example here. Let's say there's a small construction company that stacks cash reserves just in case, but never invests in systems or additional help that could reduce the owner's workload. The owner isn't doing anything wrong. In fact, those habits can indicate that someone is responsible and cautious. But a helpful question to ask is, should I invest? How much of this cash has a clear job and how much is it just sitting? I mean, you know, you hear the term opportunity cost. I mean, that's one that we look at all the time. You know, is there an opportunity that I'm missing out on because I'm hoarding cash? So again, you know, cash is king. Cash is important. But just sitting on your cash is a lot, oftentimes, missed opportunity.
Yeah. Careful when you sit on your cash.
That's right.
From cash pile to cash plan. Okay. So there's always a plan, Ashley, that we can get to. So tell me about it.
So it kind of starts with a sit down and kind of just frank analysis, not really judgment of saying, okay, how much cash does this business actually need to run? And a lot of business owners feel guilty when they ask about the cash reserves because either they feel like, oh, I have too much, I don't have enough, or it's just all commingled together. I don't know exactly what I need for which part. So we see often if you can kind of give that cash a goal or a purpose and kind of even break it out into like maybe different accounts or different segments in your mind, that helps a lot. So we'll say, hey, maybe give it some categories. One is operation cash. What do you need to make the business run day to day? Hey, think payroll, inventory, repairs. There's this is the need to cash. The other one is emergency reserves. So having that buffer. So when something goes awry, you can have it covered and you're not worried about, shit, am I going to make payroll the next day? Hey, the other one we often see is, hey, keeping a separate account for taxes. So, hey, your emergency reserves and what you keep aside for taxes, those really don't need to be sent in a checking account. They should be cash, but maybe we should look at a high-yield savings account. Maybe we should look at some CD options to have it work a little bit harder, but still relatively liquid for you. And then the next one is kind of that goals-based cash. So saying, hey, I have some retirement planning, future business, or maybe an expansion project. So your time horizon on this one is longer. So then that's really where that opportunity cost, if you leave it in cash, like Dan was talking about, it can really erode, hey, that opportunity as well as maybe your future balances as well. So when everything sits all in one account commingled together, it kind of causes stress. And when we get stressed, we're like, oh, we'll deal with it later. I'm a perfect example of that procrastinator. We'll deal with it later. We know we need to deal with it, but breaking it out, asking, hey, what questions, and maybe segmenting it can kind of ease that stress a little and then gives you that opportunity or that launch pad to do something with it.
Okay, good information. So what are some of the cash myths that are out there, Dan, that hold business owners back?
Well, you know, a lot of business owners, Aaron, they used to kind of stay stuck in that, you know, because the myths that you think about sound very reasonable. You know, some common ones are cash is the safest option. You know, but safety depends on the context, you know, because too little cash creates risk. Again, it's important to have some liquidity, but too much idle cash can quietly erode the value over time, just like Ashley was saying. Mm-hmm. You know, another myth that you hear, investing is just gambling. Well, that belief usually comes from seeing market swings on the news, but investing doesn't have to mean aggressive speculation. You know, in many cases, it simply means aligning your money with long-term goals and objectives. You know, what is the purpose of the money you have? And then the third myth is growth strategies are only for large companies or wealthy families. You know, in reality, some of the most thoughtful financial strategies we see come from small business owners because they understand discipline. You know, we've seen business owners gradually move small portions of idle cash toward long-term goals. Not necessarily all at once, not super aggressively. And the biggest change wasn't just financial, it's psychological. You know, once people understand their options, the uncertainties tend to fade. And, you know, I'm a believer, Aaron, that, you know, you need to invest in yourself and invest in your business. You know, and if you, to tie it to a biblical principle, you know, there are things in the Bible that talk about, you know, hoarding your riches. That, you know, we need to spread our riches and share with others. Well, part of, you know, hoarding cash is a little bit like hoarding, you know, you're hoarding your own riches and not reinvesting it back into your community and back into your business. So I believe there's some
biblical
validity there. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lot actually there. There was the owner. I'm not going to go into the
no.
scripture, but there's about, yeah, storing up your riches, which is one concept. And there's another about the owner that gave his employees a certain amount of money each. And then what they did with it, well, they were rewarded on that. So
absolutely.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, what kind of can help us cut through,
yeah.
Ashley? Let's cut through all the clutter and all the noise to help us cut through that yeah. indecision.
So finding that answer is asking the right questions. That's getting down to the basics of it. So here's maybe some questions to consider is, what do I realistically need for cash for the next 6 to 12 months of operations? That down and dirty number. Number, what major expenses might be coming up in the next few years? Can I target that, timeline things out? Which long-term goals could this money support? And that's okay to both dream big with this one, as well as think day-to-day operation ones. Because there's, in your business owner, you're doing the same thing. You have your expectation 5-10 year plan, but then you also have your Monday through Friday plan as well. And then how will I react when markets fluctuate? So if you are invested in the market, things go up and down. You're never guaranteed. That's our big slogan.
Uh-huh.
But flip side is, hey, do I have that time horizon to take that risk so I can potentially earn more than just staying in cash and maybe beat inflation as well as just grow as well? Oh, so these conversations are really kind of an open door to discuss either with your spouse, business partner, or an advisor. Either Dan and I and Caleb often talk about these. It's more asking the questions to get an answer because we don't know what your business is, the details. We have an idea, mm-hmm. but flip side is you're going to be able to come up with those numbers a lot more easily than we are. But flip side is guiding you to those numbers. That's where we can really kind of come in and then kind of big picture it out as well. So imagine cash just not saying quietly, but supporting what matters to you and having a true purpose of why you have what you have.
It's good information. It's good information. So, and I think it happens. So Dan, many times you have said in our conversations that small hinges swing big doors.
Absolutely.
You said, I can't tell. I mean, you say it, and I've in full disclosure, I've stolen that from you a few times as well.
Hey, full disclosure, I stole it from a gentleman, the president of our broker-dealer. I stole it from him, so absolutely.
All right. But small steps equal big momentum as well, right?
Absolutely.
So, well, tell me about this.
Well, you know, the good news about this is it doesn't have to be, you know, complicated. You don't have to put all this together and do it all at once, but I do believe in having a cash plan. You know, which seems kind of silly in some regard when you say that, but, you know, a practical progression might look something like first setting aside operating cash and the emergency reserves. You know, Ashley just referred to that. Second, identify a portion of excess cash that could support longer term goals. And third, gradually explore options that match your timeline and comfort level and maybe things that you are considering exploring in your business. You know, in other words, designate your cash for the task that it is designed for. You know, just having a big old pile of cash there's, you know, yeah. like we've said here, you know, that can be wasteful, you know, but nothing has to be rushed or forced, you know, small steps because they do reduce the overwhelm and help create momentum. And again, that confidence doesn't come from one big decision. It comes from a series of planning and thoughtful decisions over time.
Yes. Planning, we've talked about a lot. And just recently, we've talked a lot about clarity. So, Ashley, what does clarity look like and feel like in this situation?
Yeah. So if most business owners, if you look in your account and you see you have a big pile of cash, you're like, oh, I should do something with this. Mm-hmm. It's not going to spark immediate panic, being like, oh, shoot, versus if you have $0 in your bank account.
It's a different form of panic.
That's a different panic. Yes. There you go. That's right.
But it's like, once you give that cash a purpose and identify, hey, what is this pile for? You gain that clarity saying, okay, I know where I'm at and then where am I going to go? Oh, versus when it's just in a pile, you're like, oh, I should do something with it. But I don't know what to do. That's figuring out, hey, what does this cash need to do and how does it do? And kind of once you grab that clarity, people feel lighter, that procrastination bug's off your back because you know, hey, I have a purpose for this. And you haven't even spent any money by doing this, by segueing out, but people do. They feel lighter and to feel less stress. And that ultimate life shouldn't be too stressful. A little stressful, but not too stressful.
Yes.
Stressful. So instead of asking, hey, what if I mess this up? What if I put this way? And am I going to be screwed on later on? My question becomes, hey, is my money aligned with my priorities? And that gives a lot more clarity as well as future planning and optimistic planning too. Pile of cash is kind of pessimistic. What's going to happen in the world? A plan with different cash purposes is, hey, what can I achieve?
Mm-hmm. A plan. Yeah. Absolutely.
Aaron, one of the things that we talk about all the time, and I've heard Caleb say it a lot about is, you know, what is the purpose of these funds? You know, and maybe that is, you know, we talk about that a lot, like inside of an investment portfolio, but we have those same type of conversations with business owners. You know, what is the purpose of these funds that you're holding? You know, is it designed to purchase machinery that's aging out, maybe, for example, or is it to fund future something? Or is it like we've been talking about today? Is it just sitting there because you're scared? You know, now again, it's important to have liquidity. It's important to have backup funds, but you know, your funds need to have a purpose. You know, is it just sitting there safely but not meaningfully? You know, that's something you kind of need to ask yourself.
That's a good question.
You know, and second, what's one small step I can give that money some direction? Because, you know, growth in your business and growth in your cash doesn't happen by accident. It happens when a strategy, replaces fear. So if you'd like some help thinking how your business case fits in your bigger picture, you know, we're always happy to have that conversation. You know, again, 712-623-5726, milestonefinancialgroup.com. You can reach us there. And, you know, we're always happy to have that conversation because cash planning is business planning and is financial planning.
Yeah, that is great information, really great information. And I think to know there's something there, we've talked a lot about clarity. Peace of mind and clarity can go a long way to just enjoyment in life overall. So absolutely, great information.
Thank you. Hey, before we go off the air here, one thing I do want to mention is everybody pray for Marcus, if you would. You know, Marcus is over there, of course, in the fray, and he's been deployed, as everybody knows. And we think about him every day. We miss him. You know, we hope to get him back here into the States and hopefully back into the firm sometime. Of course, him coming back to our firm is pretty secondary. We just need to get him back in the States and back with his family. So, yeah, be praying for Marcus and his safe return and all the Iowa soldiers and all of our servicemen everywhere, because, you know, it's a unique time we're going through right now, and we just need to pray for our troops.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Well said. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, it's Building Rural Wealth, Dan Miller and Ashley Franco with us this morning.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco.